Good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be able to be here and to be able to share some things from God's Word, but I'm looking forward as well to be able to share about what's going on in New Guinea. I know there's something about being able to hear firsthand from somebody sharing it. It's so much better than just watching a video, being able to talk, and it's good to be able to get to know you folks better. Some of you I've not met before, some of you I have, and I'm looking forward to that after the service as well. It's definitely a blessing to see what the Lord has been doing over in New Guinea over the last almost 14 years that we've been there, and just seeing how God is working. And so again, I don't want to get into that too much because we're going to be sharing a video later on, but it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing. If you could go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 13, we're actually going to go start off in Acts 13, just touch this for just a minute, and then I'm going to have you turn over to the book of Luke. So I will have you moving a little bit. That should be okay. Something I hope it can be a challenge to you this morning. I know it was a challenge to me as I was studying. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse number 1 and 2. So as soon as you found that. Acts 13, 1 says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" I wanted us to start here because I wanted you to notice something, and this is just kind of in the way of introduction. Notice what was going on and how God chose the Barnabas and Saul to go out as missionaries to then be starting churches. He chose his workers. One of the things you notice here, it says at the start there, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and then it lists those people, and then it says, as they ministered to the Lord, then the Holy Ghost chose out those people and said, "I want these to go out." It's an interesting principle in the Bible that when God wants to choose somebody to do a work for Him, whether it be, in this case, they were going out as missionaries starting churches, whether it be a worker in the church, whether it be any type of ministry. It's interesting as you look at the principle throughout the Bible, God doesn't use people typically that have been sitting and doing nothing, sitting and just basically saying, "I don't want to be involved, I don't want to do anything, I'm just going to mind my own business," and then suddenly God chooses them for some responsibility. Typically, God's way of working is to see those that are already busy in what little steps God wants them to be involved in. In this case, they were teaching and they had ministries in the church. And then God said, "You're already busy here. I have another responsibility for you." They were serving, and God said, "Okay, I've got a job for you." And it's interesting because that's kind of an introduction. As we look around the world, whether it be in this church, whether it be over in the church that we just turned over to national leadership over in New Guinea, whether it be churches in the United States, other places in Australia, no matter where you go, there always seems to be a shortage of people to be able to serve. There are always positions, or maybe not official positions, but there are always more things that could be done if people would just get involved. That's on the local level, on the local church level. When you look at the need of missions across the world, when you look at how many places across the world could be reached for the Lord if there were just workers available. When you look at that, sometimes maybe you've not asked yourself this question, but I have. I've just wondered, Lord, why is it? Why is there such a shortage? Why is there not the workers that need to be there? In New Guinea, why is it? I mean, it's great to have people come from the outside and going in and helping them, but even the local people, why is it when you've got churches of people coming and sitting and they're coming every week, but why is there nobody going out and starting new churches? Why are there all these areas that are saying, "We don't have a pastor, we need a pastor, somebody send us one," and people calling out for more people coming in, and yet the laborers are few. The laborers are few over there. You come to here to Australia, the same thing. You don't have an overabundance of Christian workers saying, "Where do I go? I want to serve somewhere." I believe one of the principles that we can see here is that God uses those people who are already having a mindset of being a servant. And then God can take them and use them in another way, use them in further ways. If you could turn with me now to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. What I would like to challenge you with this morning is with this question: what kind of a servant does God want me to be? And right along with that would be the question, what kind of a servant am I right now? Where am I at as far as serving God, and where does God want me to be? I believe that many, many times there are people that God would like to use us in a further way, whether it be in ministry within the church, whether sending us somewhere else. There's so many areas of ministry. The where and the how is not the big issue. The question is our mindset and our heart. Are we going to have the heart, the mindset of a servant? And I believe this story that the Lord is going to tell us here, I believe can help us to understand what it means to be a true servant of God. And again, I hope you understand this is not something that should be just for pastors and teachers or people that have a certain position. This is for every single Christian. Obviously, I'm coming here not knowing everybody and all your backgrounds. I don't know who's come this morning when maybe you are not certain of your salvation. If you were to die today, you don't know for sure that you would spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. That is something that, again, that we could spend an entire morning session talking about that, but I'm sure most, if not all of you, have heard that before, and many of you have accepted Christ. My focus this morning is on those of you that know the Lord, and in your Christian life, that you can question yourself and say, am I doing and having the right mindset that God wants me to have? So that's my focus this morning. Look at Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse number 7. And we'll read down through the parable first here. It says, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." I want us to look at this, and God is using, Jesus was talking to the disciples and helping them to try to understand, what mindset do I want you to have? And first of all, before we go into this, think about what is natural to us. Our natural response is we like the idea of fairness. We like the idea of I'm getting the pat on the back. I'm getting the praise. I'm not doing more than him. I don't do more share of work than he does. Everything should be fair and even. And whatever I do, somebody should recognize that. Now, be honest, whether or not you personally have that mindset, isn't that our natural response often? We want to be recognized. If we do something, we want to be recognized. We don't want to be doing something above and beyond, at least in our mindset, above and beyond what we should have expected to do, and then really not have people say a whole lot. We like to be recognized. We like to be praised. We like to be, putting it bluntly, we like to lift ourselves up for whatever we do. That's our human nature. And Jesus is trying to go against that, and he's talking to his disciples, which were not servants, they were not slaves, and yet he was helping them to understand what mindset should we be having as Christians, because it really is contrary to what our old nature, our flesh, wants to do. Our old flesh does not want to put ourselves down and humble ourselves and be the kind of servant that God wants us to be. So go to verse 8, and let's read that again, and we'll pull out a principle from there. "And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." The principle I want you to see here is that a servant must put the master's wishes above his own. Here is given a picture here of the servant, that he comes back, he's been working hard in the fields, he comes back to the house, and the master says, "Your next job is to get food ready for me." Instead of saying, "You go feed yourself, you take care of all your own needs," he's saying, the servant's job is to come back and say, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" He's saying that is just natural. That is what's supposed to be. If you are a servant of somebody, you know that he is my master. He is the one I'm supposed to be obeying. And obviously in the picture here, he's using God as the picture of the master and ourselves as believers as the servant. The idea here is saying, I need to be in my Christian life and in the way that in my mindset is my way of serving the Lord. I need to be looking at and saying, God, what is your wish for me? I need to be willing to serve God in ways that are little and unimportant. Things that maybe don't seem like a big deal and possibly don't even seem fair. You see the idea here again of somebody having served all day long and they're coming back and they're expected then to do something else before even taking care of their own needs. And again, that's contrary to human nature, the idea that, well, you know, obviously, I don't think we'd ever say to the Lord, well, he should be doing more for me. Maybe sometimes we have that mindset. But the idea that, well, this isn't fair. I mean, this person over here, he's not been doing as much as me. Certainly he could do this. The idea of being willing to serve God in ways that maybe I see as little unimportant. Perhaps I think of those things as unpleasant, difficult, unfair. God wants me to, instead of looking and comparing myself to somebody else and saying, what are they doing? Or do I think it is right that I should have to go through this difficulty? To instead be willing to say, the Lord is my master. I am his servant. What does he want me to do? And to put his wishes above my own. Many times, the Lord's wishes are not exactly what we would pick for our own life. I'm sure you've had things in your life that God has put into your life that you didn't choose. You would not have preferred them. Maybe they're difficult times. Or maybe he gave you a job to do, a ministry of some sort, and you said, that's a whole lot more difficult and a whole lot more complicated than I wanted it to be. But think of Christ's mindset. I'm just going to read it from Luke 22:42. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was looking towards the cross, his statement there, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now think of what Christ knew. He knew exactly what was going on in the future because he could see ahead of time what kind of pain he would be facing on the cross. And yet he had the mindset that he wants us to adopt, and that is the idea, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. We look at the idea of putting your master's wishes above your own, putting the Lord's desire above your own. Many times that'll be directly in things that he asks us to do, but as you compare this with other scriptures, and you can turn to Philippians chapter 2 if you want with me, or you can just listen. Philippians 2 and verse 3. One of the things that God wants from us that sometimes, again, is not going to feel fair, is not going to feel like something we would choose for ourselves, but that is the mindset or should be the mindset of a godly servant, and that is that we would be serving others before ourselves. Think about in the story that the Lord was telling here, he was talking about the servant coming back from the field, and the master specifically said, you take care of me too. You prepare my food. Afterwards, you can eat. But again, this is not in the parable, but it would be not be at all unreasonable to imagine that sometimes the master had other people there with him as well. So it was the master and also his guests. And the servant was supposed to serve them as well. Regardless of whether that would be true in this particular parable, we know that this is a biblical principle that I want to tie directly with this. The idea of serving others before ourselves. Philippians 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. God's desire is that I would be putting his wishes above my own, his desire above my own, because he is my master, but also that I, because I've got that relationship with him, and because it is his desire that I would serve other people above myself, that not only am I thinking, God, what do you want me to do, but then specifically saying, God, how do you want me to serve others? And I challenge you, question yourself, and look at your own life, like I've had to do as I've been studying over this. In what areas do we come short on this idea of putting the Lord's wishes, the Lord's desires above my own? How easy is it to look at what we know God would like us to do? And we know that that is the best thing to do. That is what he would like us to do. But then we kind of compare it with our own desires and our own wishes and say, well, am I going to obey or not? The mindset of a servant that we ought to be having is not in looking at God's will, evaluating and say, do I want to obey? But simply finding out, is this what you want, God? If this is what you want, it's not up for evaluation. It's not up for me deciding, do I think it's a good idea? Do I think it's fair? It's going to be comfortable enough for me to handle or whatever. It's just a matter of saying, God, is this your desire? If it is, then Lord, I'll follow. I'll obey you because you are my master. Is that truly your desire? Or are you stuck in the idea of evaluating and deciding? And maybe you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm still doing some things. Well, maybe you're doing some things, but is your mindset that mindset of a servant saying, if it is my master's will, I will do it? Come back to Luke chapter 17, and I want us to look at 9 and 10. And there's two different principles that are related that I want us to see in here. Okay, so verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I wouldn't imagine that would be true. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Now these are all related, these principles are related here. We first of all saw the idea of putting the master's wishes above our own, the fact that he ought to be the one that is calling, making the decisions. He's calling the shots, so to speak. He's the one that is making the decisions for us in our life, which again is contrary to our fleshly desires. But then here is the idea of a servant must serve with humility. Let me explain it a little bit because the actual statement sounds very similar to the first one. The idea here specifically says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Now, this is not saying that God is not going to give any rewards to us as Christians. You look through the Bible, you can see very clearly God does give rewards. Again, this is talking about the mindset. Why are we doing what we are doing? Does God want it to be the primary motivation for us that we should be looking and saying, okay, God wants me to do this. What am I going to get out of it? Okay, God, you tell me the rewards out of this first. Tell me how you're going to praise me, thank me, lift me up, do something for me, and then I'll do what you want me to do. The idea here is the servant should be doing it because it is the right thing to do, because of the relationship with the master, not because of anything that he gets out of it. Not because of any thanks. And you know what? Isn't it so easy to do something, and maybe the first time we do it, somebody says thank you, they appreciate it. But then you start doing something, you're doing it for a while, and there's no, you know, people kind of almost seem like they forget about it. They just take it for granted. And I don't know about you, but I know my human nature. After a while, you say, you know, I'm still doing this. This is still a difficult thing. I'm doing it week after week after week, whether it be the way that we serve in our family, whether it be the way we serve in church, but something we're doing, God wants us to do. But, you know, our human nature is calling out for people to appreciate us and to say thanks to us. And God's helping us to recognize, first of all, let me just back up. It is not wrong to say thank you to people and to appreciate people. There's nothing in the Bible that says that is wrong. However, God's addressing again our mindset. Are we doing it for the praise? Are we doing it because of how people appreciate us? Or are we doing it because it is the right thing to do? And because we are His servants. That is one thing, as we've been working in New Guinea, that is something that is, I guess it's a worldwide thing, but we've seen it many times with the Christians over there as well, because of how much it is into their culture. The idea of people just, you know, they do something, but they're wanting to find some way of getting appreciation from it. Even the traditional way of when there is if they're going to have a fellowship meal or something like that. And this is something we've had to work against because of biblical principles. But the traditional way is they will actually take a little tarp, or they would cut open a stock feed bag and put it in the middle of where everybody is sitting. And they would lay it on the ground, and then everybody will come, and they will come put their money out. And somebody will be standing there, and they'll announce who it was that gave the money, how much it was, and everybody will applaud. And then the person will go sit down again. That is the traditional way. That is what many churches, because it is a traditional way, they've pulled it right into the church practices. But unfortunately, what that means is the regular church offering time,
people hardly give anything because there's no praise in that. Nobody's seeing how much you're giving, so they'll wait and they'll do all of their giving when there's a special thing going on, when they get the pat on the back and everybody praising them for how great you are for giving this amount. And help. And so we've had to work against that and help the same mindset that should be in all of us, that I'm doing this because I am God's servant. I'm going to give because it's the right thing to do because I'm serving God. It doesn't matter if people see it or don't see it. In fact, God tells us, don't let people see if you can help it. But that same mindset, though, not just with money. I think many of us in our culture, maybe we don't want the pat on the back because of money, but maybe it's because of some other way. We want to be appreciated. And again, there's nothing wrong with giving appreciation to somebody else, but this is a self-evaluation time. Are you going to continue doing right even when you don't get the thanks? I believe as we see in, we look back at Paul and Barnabas, there was no idea or record there of them getting any sort of fame or recognition. They were just serving along with many other people. They listed the other people that were also serving and teaching in the church. They were doing what God wanted them to do. And then God said, okay, you're being faithful. Now I'm going to select you for another job. If you could turn to Matthew 20, verse number 20. Just want to see here some of the others of the Lord's teachings concerning humility and the mindset that he wants us to be having. Again, we can put on this, the actions that seem humble. That doesn't necessarily mean that our heart and our mind is of the same mindset that God is wanting to instill in us if we are going to be true servants of his. So Matthew 20, verse number 20, some of it we'll read just as background. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. So, of course, he's talking about the suffering that he was going to be facing. And he saith unto him, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. So pause and just kind of think of what's happening. Basically, they're asking, well, their mother is asking on their behalf for a prominent position in the kingdom of God. So in the millennial kingdom, as we know it, they were thinking it was going to come sooner. But in the kingdom, they were saying, we want this prominent position on your right hand and on your left. And he was saying, are you willing to go through the suffering that I'm going to be going through? And they really didn't have a clear understanding of what Jesus was going to be going through. And they said, yes, yes, definitely, we can go through that. But then he turns around and says, well, it's not my authority right now. That's not what it's going to be decided of the Father, not of me. So I'm not going to be able to tell you that. So basically, this just happened. And then you notice the ten heard it, and they were moved with indignation against them. Now, God doesn't really tell us exactly why. Now, there's kind of two thoughts. One could be they were frustrated because they saw the pride in them and basically didn't like that prideful attitude. However, looking at what Jesus' response was to that and also the attitude that you see other times from the disciples, it's more likely, at least in my opinion, more likely that the response here of indignation or anger and frustration against them was because, hey, you guys asked this. We wanted to ask that. You know, that idea of how come you beat us to it as far as asking first? We wanted to be the ones to ask. You're not going to get there before us. We want those positions too. Again, don't know that for sure, but we do know Jesus' response here, and it seems to match with that sort of an idea there. In verse 25, but Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles, or the rulers, the authorities, they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. So the idea of the leaders want to use their power to basically control the people under them. They want to be in power so they can control other people that are under them and use their authority. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great or desires to be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was helping us to evaluate and say, yes, I know this is the mindset. The mindset is try to get ahead in this world, try to get a position of power and authority so that you can be bossing people around. You can have that position to tell people what to do. But Jesus is saying, that's not the way that I want it to be, and that ought not to be the way it is among Christians. He's saying, if you want to be great in God's eyes, you need to put yourself down as a servant. Again, that doesn't mean that somebody isn't supposed to have authority over somebody else. I think you know that's pretty obvious through the scriptures. Obviously, God has put the pastor in authority over the members of the congregation. God has put the husband in authority over the wife. God has put the government in authority over the citizens. Okay, so there are aspects of authority, but God's saying, even as a person in authority, no matter what authority God gives, the mindset should still be, how can I use this position of authority to serve others, to treat them better, to do things for them? So God's saying here, the idea, and go back to our main passage in Luke 17, our mindset ought to be, God, how do I serve you? Because you're my master, because you're my boss, and not because of anything that I can get out of it. Not because of the praise I can get out of it. Not because of the position, the authority, not anything of that. Not for some hidden agenda. Sometimes people will try to accept a small job because they've got their eye on some bigger job and say, well, if I do this, then I'll be able to work myself up the ladder. Now, I understand that's how it works in the corporate world. That ought not to be how our mindset is as Christians. Whatever job we have, we ought to do it to the best of our abilities because it's the right thing to do, because I have a master that is telling me what to do and I'm obeying him, not because of thanks, not because of getting ahead, but just because it is right. Look again here, another principle out of verse 9 and 10. So let's read 9 and 10 again. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, I'm wanting to focus in on this point here on the word servants and duty. The idea of servants that have been bought with a price. Okay, so this principle here is kind of all through it because it is a matter of a servant. Understand here, the immediate illustration is actually talking about a slave who was purchased by his master, and then he was supposed to be doing the job that he'd been given. But putting that into a Christian perspective here, a verse that is familiar, I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up here, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are bought with a price. We are his servants because he paid for us with his own life. I think the idea, okay, the principle, I'll just, my point here, the principle is that a servant must serve because he has been purchased by Christ. We're looking at mindset here again. Why do you do what you do? The first point was a servant must put the master's wishes above his own. He ought to have the mindset that is saying it is God's will, not mine, that matters. It doesn't matter anything else. If it is God's desire, I will obey. And then the idea of a servant must serve with humility, not for any hidden motive, not to get anything for himself, but just saying, I will put myself down. Myself doesn't matter. Again, it is kind of a little bit repetitive of the first point of it is the master's wish, not my own. And again, the third one is kind of a different facet of that. Why do we do this? Serving because of what he has done for us. True, we will be rewarded. I am very thankful for that. I am glad that God has given the promise of eternal rewards, of prizes in heaven. But even looking at that, you look in the book of Revelation, the idea of Christians then, we being able to throw those rewards, those crowns back at Jesus' feet. The idea that without him enabling us, we couldn't do anything of value anyway. So it is all of him. The fact that he gives the responsibility, but then he gives the ability to be able to do that. And so we are serving him, but it is not so that I can get any praise. It is simply so that I can bring praise to the master. And yes, we get prizes, but then to turn around and recognize, yes, I did those things for God, but It was only through him in giving those rewards back to him, so to speak. The idea here, the principle I'd like to evaluate, you to evaluate, just like I've tried to do the self-evaluation with myself, is are you remembering who it is that is the master? This is not a master who is giving you unfair commands because he just wants to make your life hard. Letting difficult things come into your life because he just doesn't care. Right? When you look at the character of our God, even just at the fact that he is the one who bought us with a price, that ought to let us know he is caring for me and for my needs. And there may be times, there will be times, I should say there have been times, when in my life I don't understand why God has let something come in, or when he gives me a responsibility and I don't understand why or how to do it, or I want to complain because it's difficult. Excuse me. But the point is, looking at the fact that I am a servant because I have been purchased by his life, that ought to be a constant reminder. Not only do I owe him a debt of gratitude, but even beyond that, it ought to be constantly reminding me that I have a master that loves me. You know, in a worldly sense, some masters back in Jesus' day, and even well beyond that, would be abusive to their servants. They would do things just to hurt them, just because they were frustrated. But we know that our Lord isn't going to do that. If God's desire was to harm me, or that he didn't care about me, why on earth would he give his life so that I could be to have eternal life? Why would he do that? You know, just looking, and there's so many more principles throughout the Bible, but just the fact that I have been purchased shows that I have a good master that is that loves me, that is doing what is best for me. And even in the work that he is giving me to do, he's wanting me to be involved in his work and his ministry. He's wanting to give blessings to me. But my mindset needs to be, I am serving Christ because he is the one who has purchased me. I have been bought with a price. I believe that if in every single church and in every single person's life, if each person were fully committed to the Lord and fully had a mind of a servant, this kind of a mind of a servant like God tells us we need to be having, we wouldn't be struggling and finding, okay, who can help with going on soul winning or knocking on doors? Who can help with this job or this job? Even as far as missionaries going around the world, we're not going to have that problem. If in churches all of us have that mindset of it, my own desires don't matter. My own convenience and comfort doesn't matter. Nothing matters other than the fact of I want to serve the Lord. What does he want me to do? Even in our homes, think about it. If that mindset were in our homes of saying, I want to serve the Lord, it doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter how my husband or wife treats me. It doesn't matter how, wrong the kids are behaving. I am going to do what is right. I'm going to follow what God wants me to do because he is my master. It doesn't, again, doesn't matter of any praise. It doesn't matter whether people are recognizing it. It doesn't matter if it's difficult. I am simply his servant. If that mindset were in all of our lives, and I will say, if it were in my life all the time, it would take so many of the problems out of my own personal life. I'm just going to be honest there. When so many times when we sin, we can trace that mindset or the reason that sin came up, we can trace it back to this mentality of, I really just didn't want to be the kind of servant to the Lord that he wants me to be. So this morning I'd like to challenge you. What is it in your life where you come short and that God's wanting to just say, hey, will you be willing to be the kind of servant that I want you to be? Will you be willing to put the master's wishes above your own? Will you be willing to serve with humility? And then will you be willing to serve out of a motivation of the fact, because of the fact that you've been purchased by Christ? I believe that if you will question yourself with that, the Lord will help you, as he's helped me, to come with a more biblical understanding of what it means to be a servant And then we can go forward, and maybe God wants somebody here to be stepping forward in some other type of a ministry or responsibility, but it can't happen until we have our heart and our mindset right. Thank you so much.